The L.A. Police Union boss telling police officers to go somewhere that understands your worth. Given the issues in Los Angeles and many other cities, many other agencies around the country, often at the failure points of the mayoral office, after all, the mayors typically are at the top of the chain. How does this apply? Should it apply? What does it mean? And what are the effects when police officers are told, go somewhere that understands your worth? Sergeant Betsy Branter Smith, spokesperson for the National Police Association, on the line with me. Sergeant Smith, great to have you back here. Welcome again.
Hey, good morning. It's great to be with you.
So, you know, that phrase, not one that's hard to understand, but what's behind it? And is there danger behind that phrase?
Well, here's the thing. Most Blue City police departments have been reeling now for 3 years from the vilification and the demonization of the work that they do. And in L.A., this was a couple of weeks ago when they were doing contract negotiations, the vice president of the union posted on social media that, look, you go somewhere where you will be appreciated. And that's what we're seeing around this nation. You know, it's not just LAPD that is short-staffed. The Washington, D.C. Metro is 500 cops short. NYPD, nearly 2,000 cops short. And when you don't have cops, enough cops to even answer the 911 calls, of course, you're going to have to pull them out of investigations, pull them out of specialty units. And so that's why we're seeing less than 50% clearance rates on homicides around the country. And a lot of cops are doing just what this union boss said. They're going places where people appreciate what they do. They're leaving large blue cities, and they're going to places like Florida and more rural Arizona and Wyoming, and they're going to places where people want law and order.
You know, it's such a tragedy playing out, because as you and I know, and I think as certainly this audience and most Americans know, it's people in often the more poorer areas that pay the price. But now, of course, the rampant crime has spread to all parts of this country, inside malls, outside malls, whether it's a drugstore, a grocery store, you name it, high end, any end of the spectrum economically or from a retail perspective. But then on the ground, there's so much more danger to this. If rapes and robberies, assaults, the crime, domestic violence, you know, they're not decreasing. Matter of fact, if you look at the reports, many of them are increasing, and especially in these blue run cities for decades. So what does this look like? I mean, I'm painting a dark picture, but is there another one available?
Well, there really isn't, because when you take the demonization of police and then you add on this vilification of the entire criminal justice system, you have people who are able to act violently and lawlessly with almost no consequences. You know, go to my native Illinois. We now have no cash bail. So you commit a crime, and before the cop signs off on his report, the person is back out on the street. We see this extraordinary cycle of re-arrest, re-offending all around the country. So, you know, it sounds hopeless, but what people need to do is pay attention to what is happening locally. You know, everyone's abuzz right now with the fact that Ron DeSantis suspended the Orange County, Florida prosecutor. The reason he did that is because when she got elected, George Soros' organization spent $1.5 million getting her elected on, he spent it on last minute ads. And what has happened in Orange County, Florida, and that's Orlando, big tourist area, is crime was starting to look like New York and Washington, D.C. and Chicago. And what pushed the governor over the edge was a career criminal out on bond put two Orlando cops in the hospital fighting for their lives. And he said, enough. Florida allows for the removal of these George Soros-installed prosecutors, and there is over 70 of them around this nation, in Philadelphia, in Seattle, in Cook County, Illinois, in L.A., and Portland. And people need to pay attention. Not to, we all get eaten up with who's going to be the president. You need to pay attention to who's your local prosecutor, who's on your city council, who's running your county board. These are the day-to-day issues that help stop crime. And I think people are absolutely on board with supporting law enforcement, supporting law and order policies. We've just got to get the politicians to go along with the American people.
My guest, Sergeant Betsy Branter Smith, spokesperson for the National Police Association. I actually want to go back a little further. You mentioned the last 3 years, but I'll go back to Ferguson, 2014. Mm-hmm. So we're really seeing almost a decade, if you include what happened prior to Ferguson with Trayvon Martin. From that period forward, so for almost a decade, whether it was Eric Holder walking down West Florissant Street, you know, in Ferguson, and I was there watching this travesty play out, the riots, the looting, and the Ferguson effect, combined with the Soros-funded program, formally, I guess you can call it, from 2015 on, to get Kim Gardner, Kim Fox, the Alvin Braggs of the world, the Vance Jones, the other prosecutors in place, the Gastons, and more. This is a decade-long modern version of this effort. And, I mean, again, dark picture, what does it take to turn this around? We're starting to see moments, and I call them the Bernie Getz moments, show up again. You had what happened, and tragically, and with Sergeant Penny in New York in a subway. You have the viral video from a couple of days ago of the store clerks beating a guy who's robbed them multiple times. You know, this there's a cocktail building here, and the people that pay the price may be the ones that have to turn around and defend themselves. I don't see a good, easy, or nonviolent solution out here.
The only real nonviolent solution is going to happen at the voting booth, but that doesn't always happen fast enough to stop exactly what you're talking about. Because, again, I travel all over this country and train cops, and you're absolutely right about the Ferguson effect and the fact that law enforcement has been so incredibly politicized since Barack Obama called the beer summit and said that the Cambridge police acted stupidly. And those of us in law enforcement, he was my senator when I was a police officer. We all knew where this was headed. We all saw it in the state of Illinois. But he was such a historic figure that people didn't realize it until it happened. So, again, you see firearm sales on the rise. And that's one of the things the National Police Association does, is we're the only large police organization out there that absolutely supports a citizen's right to bear arms and use them in a lawful manner. And I think that's what you're going to see happen, is that people are going to end up saying, you know what, I call the police. There was just that doctor in Portland who got her face smashed in by a homeless man. She called 911. It took 28 minutes for the police to respond because Portland PD has been so stripped of resources. People are going to start taking matters into their own hands, but they've got to make sure they do it in a lawful manner. And I hope that we don't end up with this sort of quiet civil war on the streets of especially our blue cities. But the street gangs, 32,000 of them in this country, are getting stronger and stronger as we see more and more violent crime victims fall to this lawlessness.
Yeah, you remind me of something I saw in the last couple of days. There was a warning sent out by the Miami-Dade Sheriff's Office, and the warning was to the effect that if you see a young child or someone on the street or at a bus stop who has an address and says, you know, take me to this address, I need help, that it's actually a rape plan to rape women by MS-13. I mean, when that's issued by the Miami-Dade Sheriff's Department and you see these other warnings going out, you know, we're reaching that level. And look, I go into some of these poor areas around the country and poorer areas, doesn't matter what ethnicity it is, and I hear from people there and I check in to see what's going on. And they're afraid because they're often left at the mercy of that type of response time, and they don't have an effective way to fight back against the gangs. They just want to live a good life. That's what most people want to do. So this cocktail is just getting worse.
Well, you're absolutely right. I live 80 miles from the southern border here in Arizona, and you cannot ignore what an open southern border is doing to the crime rates in the United States. And what do I see every week when I go to the airport, when I'm flying out to train cops? I see in the special line for people with no identification, I see mostly military-aged young men from all over the world. Now, again, I know some are here for a better life, but a lot are not. And that is why we are seeing the proliferation of street gangs. You know, you talk about a government warning. The government of Mexico just put out a warning to all its consulate workers in Washington, D.C., that they need to be mindful of the violent crime in our nation's capital. How sad is that? And yet carjacking's up 108%, homicide up 28%. And again, that's in our nation's capital, and we're seeing this all around the nation. And people are frightened, but people are angry. And I believe it all goes back to, again, supporting your law enforcement officers and paying attention to local elections.
Yeah. I mean, sadly, in New York City, a number of call it senior precinct level and others were told last week, according to my sources, to retire by this coming week. Mm-hmm. That's coming out of the mayor's office. This is deliberate. This is the thing. Do you think, Betsy, that people understand that this is not just accidental, coincidental, an ideological difference, maybe a political difference? This is deliberately undermining a key element of society's fabric.
Well, it absolutely is. And I think people are starting to wake up. You know, when we talked about this 10 years ago, 8 years ago, 4 years ago, people called us conspiracy theorists, of course, you know. And now I believe a lot of people are starting to wake up to it because obviously there is a creation of chaos on the nation's streets that has been very deliberate in that creation. But I believe that there's also a large number of the population, and honestly the most vulnerable, who just are trying to live their lives. They're just trying to get to and from work, to and from the store, to and from church, trying to get their kids to and from school. And they just don't have the wherewithal to really understand what is happening. And so they live their lives in this intense fear. So, you know, again, Washington, D.C. is the place to watch right now, I believe, because what you're seeing there is an extraordinarily woke city council and a previously woke mayor who are putting the brakes on most of their anti-cop, pro-social justice policies in an effort to save their city. And that's what needs to happen all around this country.
Betsy, I I actually hate to disagree with you. I really don't. That's not what they're doing in D.C. And it's not disagreement with you. I want to be clear about that. What I see on the street in there, and I have a lot of sourcing in D.C., I know what they're saying in Muriel Bowser's office and in the ward councilman's office. But on the streets, that's not what's happening.
Mm.
End of watch changes, charging structures, they're not changing it. They're just pretending to say they're doing something.
Well, and that's why the cops are fleeing as fast as they can. And I don't disagree with you, boy, but I truly hope you're wrong. But as I see and talk to the cops there, you're right about that. They're very cynical about it. They don't believe it. And that's why we continue to see the violent crime proliferate, because the cops, we used to be worried about things like, you know, getting hurt in the line of duty, getting shot, having to get sued because you had to shoot somebody. Now they worry about going to prison. And that's what we're seeing in Washington, D.C. That's what we see in Chicago. Those Chicago police officers who are incredibly shorthanded worry more about their prosecutor going after them than they do going after the street gangs that run the South and West Side. Travis County, Texas. Everybody thinks Texas is this conservative mecca. In Austin, Texas, Travis County, that prosecutor spends way more time going back and letting people out of prison on old cases and trying to put cops in prison.
Yeah, dangerous cocktail indeed. But you keep fighting for it. I know you do. I know that the entire organization and those of us out here who support you are right behind the National Police Association. So thank you, Betsy.
Thanks for having me, David.
Sergeant Betsy Branter-Smith, the spokesperson for the National Police Association, the website nationalpolice.org. I'll be right back.